Okay, we're continuing with the Masilas Hasharim and the commentary of the Bavli. Even though we ended at the bottom of page Shin Hey, I'm going to just skip a few paragraphs and start up again on page Shin Vav at the three diamonds. And he's commenting on the words of the Masilas Hasharim that says that the purpose of a person in this world is to break through the barriers that separate himself from Hashem. And those barriers are physical world, physical things that we get ourselves into. And it says, Vahatoli Bohem, and those things that are dependent on them, which he defines as the mitos. A person's mitos have become a barrier. And then he adds a third one, which is Hadeos, our knowledge, the way we do things, the way we understand things about our Yiddishkeit, and we can make mistakes in that. He gave an example of you're allowed to hate what a person does, but not to hate the person himself. That's an aspect of Deos, which really what he added on beyond what are the words in the Masilas Hasharim. But basically what he's saying is if you remove those barriers that are there, then it will be drawn to Hashem like iron is drawn to a magnet. So we're continuing in the middle of page Shin Vav. Very important point he's going to add here. Amnam zo salenu das, but we need to know. Kigam imlo shiber adam es kol mechitzas hamafsikas bein olo bein boro elachalkom. Even if a person does not break all the barriers that exist between him and Hashem, even if you just break part of those barriers, still in all, you maintain a connection, a pull to Hashem to a certain degree. And he continues with the example. Two magnets that naturally be drawn to each other. Even if you'll have some kind of a little barrier between the two of them, they may not pull as fast, but still one will come after the other. Let's say you put two pieces of paper, you put a magnet on one side, one magnet on the other side. They'll still be drawn to each other. It will be a little slower. The field is not totally disrupted. If there be nothing there, they quickly catch. It's still a little catch, just take a little bit longer. So gam ka gam linyanenu. So it is with what we're speaking about. So einenu hagdora muchletes. This isn't an absolute definition. It's not a question of either or. Either I'm pulled to Hashem or I'm not pulled to Hashem. Finished. No. Zu hagdora kamahu nemshach. It's a definition of how much you'll be pulled to Hashem. Vaday shiyitochein rachman alaslan matzah shalom achayiv kores v'nichris min hashorish v'narod of klal achar bayolam. It's possible, God forbid, a person can be in a situation where he's done an avera where you're chayiv kores, where you're spiritually cut off. That's from the root, and you don't run at all after Hashem. It's possible. Av adam shekein kayem sebachina near to v'ladas Hashem. But if a person still has the attribute, exists with him, as the pasuk says, we run to know Hashem. God already vaso achar bor he kifikama erach amechitzer shushiber. The greatness of the stronger ability to run after Hashem depends on the amount of barriers that you have broken. How many barriers have you broken? So it's not an all or nothing. In this area, okay, it's not all or nothing insofar as you having closeness to Hashem or not. It's a question of degree. Now, it could be nothing. If you totally have nothing to do with Hashem, then it's nothing. But we don't say, you know, you indulge in certain things that you totally have no connection to Hashem. You know, let's say, you know, you have X amount of barriers between you and Hashem, and at that point, there's so many barriers, you're not connected to Hashem. You do tshuva, let's say you get rid of some of the barriers. You get rid of the extremely bad barriers, but there's some barriers that are not that terrible. There's still some connection to Hashem. And that's, so don't feel you have to get rid of every single barrier, because if I don't get rid of every single barrier, then there's no connection to me and Hashem. That's what he's saying is not true. Marshal Madavadam, what can we compare this to? Yesh no cheder ubo or. Let's say there's a room that has light in it. Now you divide up the room into two. Bemtzos mechitza geves, with a plaster barrier. And the windows are on one side and not on the other side. So now, now at this point, the other half of the room is totally dark because you've blocked out all the light from the windows on the other side of the room. So you put up a plaster wall, you put up one of these walls, you know, nothing's going to get to the other side. So what happens? Next page, Shin Zayin. So you start to make a few holes into the plaster wall. A few holes. Kechol shenigdol esacharim, to the degree that those holes become bigger, kenaor shiyabaka mechatzia cheder hamaor lechatzia choshechito. So too will the light that breaks through to the other side of the room will get bigger. As a matter of fact, it can even explain a little better. Even though it's totally dark before you break through that wall. Before you break the wall, it's pitch dark. At that point, even if you make a little opening, all of a sudden you're going to see a tremendous amount of light relative to the total darkness that's there, even though you don't have lots of light. Which he's going to explain a chazal in a minute, but you have to understand, you know, you start a room with lots of light, put a wall up, it's pitch dark. And you know, a little bit of light can dispel a lot of darkness. So therefore, even if you have one little hole, already there's going to be light to the extent that you could probably see anywhere in that room, although very dimly. But that's infinitely greater to the degree of how much blockage there is and how much opening you have. You're going to get a much greater degree of light than what you had before. That first breakthrough is an incredibly, it's not like, you know, let's say every day you're going to chip away one more little hole. So let's say it will take you a year to get down the whole barrier, right? So, but every day you're going to chip away the same amount of a hole. Well, which day brought in the most light? The first one, and the one that brings the least light in is the last one, right? So relative to the tremendous darkness, you've brought in the most amount of light you're going to bring it at any one moment when you do that. Which will now explain a chazal. But that's what he's saying. Okay, that's what he said, right? So the degree that the openings are made into the mechitza, so too, to that degree, will the light illuminate from one half of the room to the other. What's the goal at the end? The eventual goal is to get rid of the entire barrier. That's the eventual goal. You don't want to have any barriers. However, the same way, nenu nasis b'matzav hamugdar, kiyesh mechitza emechitza. But our avoda isn't so specifically defined in a way to say either there is a barrier or there isn't a barrier. Gab sheish mechitza, even when there is a barrier, ukolani yesh mechitza, we all have barriers. Hashelei kama goydlo yishal mechitza v'kama chayrim hitzlachnu lachror bo. The question is, how great is the barrier, and how many holes have we successfully bored into that wall? That is the ultimate question. I'll say, Amr Chazal, now you appreciate the words of the rabbis. The rabbis say in the Chazal, Peacefully Pesach Echad Shal Tshuva Kechuda Shal Machad. If you open up for me an opening of tshuva that's as small as the eye of a needle, and then I will open up openings that you can even bring chariots with horses to break through it. That's how much. Aleinu lasos chur shadarka yivaka or aloki bekirbo. Our job is to make a hole that in its way will allow the godly light to break through into us. And then we will merit to break all the other barriers and to extend out the light. So now you see it's beautiful. Why is it that when you just open up one little eye of a needle, Hashem helps the rest? Because that first eye of the needle already brings in much with the transition from total darkness to even total weak light is a big, big jump. And then you already begin to see, relative to where you were, there's a tremendous more amount of clarity. And then it becomes a question of degree. How much clarity do you want to have? But once you see a little clarity, that already gives you a chance to turn the corner. So although a person, you know, so a person would resign themselves and say, I'm so in the dark, there's no hope for me. Now if you just get that little light in there, then there's the opportunity to make big strides. Now we spend our whole life trying to get rid of more mechitzas. Certainly, a person who is, what are the mechitzas? The main ones were the first two mechitzas he mentioned. The mechitza of enjoying this world in Yonei Chomrios. Second one was the midos. Right? So the idea is, okay, let's try to break a little bit of the mechitzas. A little bit at a time. We mentioned yesterday in the Parsha class, in the Eisha Sota, we were talking about the different mechitzas that exist. And how the Zohar says that the story with the woman who's the unfaithful wife, it's not just a simple story about one woman being unfaithful to a man. But rather, Zohar says what the real message is over here, it's a parable to Klal Yisrael that's compared to the wife of Hashem being the unfaithful wife to Hashem. Being the unfaithful wife to Hashem. And how we, as Jewish people, are unfaithful to Hashem, and what's the process that has to be involved in fixing it up. Which gives the story so much, much huger meaning. And then the key word that they say over there, the word is, so the question is, how could a Jewish woman be unfaithful to Hashem? Remember, this parsha is also usually read right after Shavuos, usually. Okay, this week, year it's done before because of the leap year. It's usually right after Shavuos. So why is this message so important right after Shavuos? Because the question is, how could a woman who's married to a man, or vice versa, but married to a man, how could she do such a terrible thing and be unfaithful? How could it be? You were married. You loved each other. Under the chuppah, you never thought of being unfaithful. How could the Jewish people be so unfaithful to Hashem? At our Sinai, we were so faithful to him. How could they serve the golden calf? How could they do certain things, right? That's really the deeper question. The question is, how could it be after you stay up all Shavuos night, after you do Kabbalah Satara, how could it be that later on you're going to do terrible Averis? That's a very important issue. It's more than just an issue between a woman and a man. You could stay up all Shavuos night, mamash plug away, mamash learn a ton, right? And then a week later, you're listening to Lashon Hara, you're missing davening, all these things. What happened? What happened to you? How could it be? So it's a very beautiful Hasidic sefer that it's very deep. He explains that the key component to the woman's fall, it says the word vinistera. Vinistera. She was hidden from her husband. She went into hiding. She was with another man and nobody knows what was going on. She was hidden from her husband. So he explains that there are two types of concealments in the world. Well, let's say it on a simple level first, and then we'll... The point being, when a woman becomes unfaithful, it doesn't go straight from being unfaithful. There's a step in the middle. There's two steps in the middle. One we'll talk about now, and we'll leave later, because he's going to mention this idea later, and it's a good time to put it in the next page. He says, how does a person come to think this? How can a spouse be unfaithful to another spouse? It doesn't go from 0 to 100. There's two key components. One we'll say now is vinistera. She's hidden from her husband. Which means to say that a woman can start feeling that I can have a life outside of my husband. Under the chuppah, your mamish, I only have eyes for you. My whole life will just be with you. It's just me and you, everything together. You know, you and me and you, forever together. It was such a niggin about 30 years ago.
More.
Right? More? Okay.
40.
Poor Hashem, I can't remember all the words. So how can it be? The answer is, you know, you start to feel, you know, I want to have my own life. You know, I think I'd like to have my own bank account. I want to have my own circle of friends. And, you know, I want to have certain things that give me a great sense of self-esteem. And, of course, I'll come home, but you know, my real pleasure is outside of my house. Now, that's step number one that happens. In other words, you know, she enjoys going to a second cup with all her friends and schmoozing for hours. It's so enjoyable. At the kiddush, she wants to talk to her friends. Whenever anything's going on, there's other things she's happy with. She has her own career. She's now a successful executive downtown. She gets a lot of status. She gets a lot of sipuka nefesh, a lot of satisfaction from a lot of other people complimenting her and making her feel good. Right? So that kind of person, and when she comes back home to her husband, she doesn't feel much is there between her and the husband. Because the husband no way is competing with all that attention she's getting outside in that outside world. For reasons that either are or not the husband's fault. The husband can be working very hard to provide a living because maybe the wife demands too many things from the husband. So he has to work hard and long hours. When he comes home, he's too tired to talk to her. But she's got the whole day to do what she wants. So she's developing a lot of other interests outside of her husband. And not to say that you can't be outside of the house. Chas v'shalom. You should be outside the house, but your mind should never be outside of the house. You don't look at the things that are going outside as giving you the satisfaction in life. Your husband has to give you the satisfaction in life. And there's other things you have to do. You got to go to the store to buy food. Okay, you meet people, you're nice, you say hello to them. Of course, you talk to them, how are you doing? Exchange pleasantries, not a problem. You want to do chesed with people because you want to do chesed, not because I have to feel a sense of I'm an important person by doing this chesed. No, you're building a bias nevim b'Yisrael in the house, with your house, working it through with your husband. You know, he's not a big communicator, so why don't you work on helping him be a better communicator? That's where you have to put your efforts in. You put all your efforts into your home. And then when you go out of your home, that's nice. It's wonderful. It doesn't compare to how wonderful it is to be in the house. If being outside the house is so wonderful, then when you come back home, you're with your husband, it just ain't wonderful. And then you'll do what you have to do as a wife, but you're not going to do it with any heart. Yeah, you'll come in 5 minutes before he comes, you make a quickie dinner. A bidyevet, you know, instead of spending an hour and making a really nice dinner with all your love in your heart and, you know, basting the chicken and marinating the salad. And you go to Sobeys to pick up a barbecue chicken, an instant mashed potatoes, and a whipped up supper in 5 minutes for you, dear. And she asks him, how are things doing? And her husband's speaking. She's thinking about what was going on, what her friends were telling her back at Second Cup. You with me?
Yeah, but sometimes it's the other way around. I've got 10 minutes to have dinner.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying if you're running out to learn Torah, that's good.
Well, that's
no, you're doing that because your wife wants you to learn Torah too. Hashem wants you to learn Torah.
But that's also could be a could also be the source of a big problem.
Well, you have to have both spouses have the same hashkafa. You don't have to be home that long. If you're home at 6 o'clock, 6:30, and you're home for an hour and a half, and you really are engaged with your spouse, hour and a half's a lot of time.
Also, if you make her understand how you're doing it with the two of you instead of just running off without
including. I know, but at the end of the day, she's home all evening.
So she should go to a class. She should go to a class.
Seven o'clock or something. I mean, she's going
to
go do.
She should go to another. You should tell her, why don't you come to a class? I'm coming. There's a class right next door. Come to a class next door. Well, let's go to a certain class together. This is called Mesiris. This is where the woman gets her Olam Haba. You have to sit down and explain. I know it's difficult for you, dear. I love you greatly. And my learning Torah is going to make me be the better husband for you. And it's going to bring in so much Gan Eden into this house. just like she's very happy that you go to work. Believe me, if you would tell your wife, you know, I'm not going to work anymore because I want to sit with you all day. She said, get out of the house. We're going to sit together and won't pay the mortgage. Get out of the house. I want you to get out of the house. She has to know your learning Torah is more important than the hours you're going to work. You have to explain it to her that way. Even she doesn't see that because she sees the paycheck at the end of the month. She doesn't see the nitzchias. She doesn't see, dear, when we're going to sit forever together, I want to make sure we have a nicer house.
I just seem to talk about, we have little children and you don't work all day, then you come home and after an hour you're up for the whole evening. And it's every night of the week.
It's not the whole evening and it's not every night of the week. It's not Friday night. It's not Motzei Shabbos. It's not Sunday. It's not Sunday, right? And a lot of times not even Thursday.
Right.
You know, so that's what you have Shabbos for. You do have a weekend. But it depends on the wife's understanding of it's very important. Your husband is showing his love for you. It's not your husband's going bowling. That would be a big problem. What is your husband going bowling for? You should be with your wife. I'm learning Torah. I have to learn Torah. I'm trying to build up the biggest mansion in Shemayim for me and my wife. The more I learn, the better it's going to be than whatever house I'm giving you here. And I'd rather be with you, but just like I'd rather be with you, if you had anyone explain this to me, just like I'd rather be with you all day long. But I know if I do that, we're going to live on the street. I don't want to live on the street in the next world with you. If you have had a wife, she'll be very happy that you're going.
I think that's the way she comes to Drush, as we talked last night.
Okay. Remind me, I'm not speaking this week. I'm just saying that has to be mysterious nefesh on the wife's part too.
But if she understands, that's a very good question.
I'm saying, so you don't need the drush. You could say, the rabbi told me this. Tell it to your wife. This is what rabbi said this morning. When you come home tonight, what are you going to talk about? You're going to say, we explained it. Right? That's a very important point. But the main point is, if the wife perceives that, no, my life, my real pleasure in life is not with my husband, even though she hasn't sinned against her husband, but it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time till you do. Because now that you have all your excitement in the rest of the world, then you're going to meet people that you shouldn't be meeting. You're going to be seeing things you shouldn't be seeing. And then you'll come to violate that relationship. Right? So it's not, you don't look at the violating point. You have to look at the point of what has caused them not to be. There have been some barriers put up over here. There have been barriers put up. So in a marriage, there can be certain barriers that exist now. And if the barrier is here, then I look somewhere else to find what I can connect with. And then every time you come back, because the barrier is there, I just don't feel any simcha being with my husband. Because he put up all those barriers.
So how does that happen?
What happened
there
when your was put up?
I don't know. You're jumping the gun.
It wasn't on Shavuos.
It's after Shavuos.
Yeah, so
it's certain. But anyway, but I'm just saying. So the same thing is our relationship with Hashem. There are mechitzas in this world. And one of the biggest mechitzas is the physical world. And Hashem purposely did it that way. He purposely created mechitzas for us to, and our purpose is to remove those mechitzas. That's what Hashem wants. That enables our free will choice. Because there's mechitzas, there's barriers, we have a free will choice. And we have to make the job to break through those barriers. If we choose not to break through those barriers, what happens? What happens is that you look at that other physical world as the place that you get your satisfaction from. If you have these barriers, I don't feel so close to Hashem. And, it's just not there. But boy, I feel close to, I love watching a hockey game. I love that. I love eating food. I love, whatever. All the physical pleasures of life, I relate to them. I mamish feel close with them. So every time you come back to do what Hashem wants you to do, it's stale, cold, and has no life. Right? You haven't done any averis yet. You're an Orthodox Jew who does everything you're told to do. I mean, you go to shul, but you make sure you go to the fastest minyan, because why do I have to hang around him longer than I have to? You understand? There's people who go to the minions because they're quick, you know. Deep down, it means being with Hashem isn't so much fun. Right? The guy who's like very inconsistent in going to a class. Hey, I go to Rabbi Sons' class, but it's once a week, and he comes once a month. He says, I'm in that class. Because if any little thing comes up, he doesn't come. So it shows I don't really get my satisfaction there. Right? Giving tzedakah, you know, he tries to find the cheapest ways out. He only gives to places that give tax receipts. You know, a very important cause with no tax receipts he doesn't give. You know, whatever he has to do, he has to do. You know, okay, we have a kosher home, but you know, if it's a questionable hashkacha already, you know, it's probably okay. That's probably, I understand why they can't say we can't have strawberries. I understand. I'll just run it under the sink. I can have the strawberries. It's kosher enough. Right? I don't know if that's a rabbi any shyless. You know, it's like, I'm a Jew and I have to do this, okay, you know. But there's so much concealment. There's such a barrier between you and Hashem. So you gotta go somewhere to feel happy. It's like, oh, you know, this year that you couldn't go to, you know, that was the World Cup or Game 7 of the NBA Finals. It's neshayach. I love it. All my krechas go into that. Right? So when you're, the physical world itself, by definition, isn't an enemy of God. It's not a terrible thing at all. But it can be the source of the barriers between you and Hashem. And that's what he's talking about over here. A Jew doesn't become unfaithful to God overnight. It's because they allow those physical barriers to take on a life unto themselves. And the person says, my satisfaction in life comes out of things other than Hashem. That's all. It's other than Hashem. And if it's other than Hashem, so even when I am with Hashem, it's not, nothing's happening. It just reinforces, because the more you're enjoying everything else, the more going to Hashem becomes a burden. Oh, I gotta go to Marv now. It's the fourth quarter. I go to Marv. Oh, okay, I go to that minion. They do it really fast. It's only 8 minutes. I can still make it back for the last 3 minutes of the game. Yeah, like what's going on over here? And believe me, during davening, he ain't thinking about Hashem. He's thinking, will that guy get the triple double or not? It's very interesting to see what's going to happen at the end. That's what he's thinking the whole time he's doing the Shemoneh Esrei, right? Yeah. No one knows what the triple double is. Okay. Anyway, everyone who's watching is going to say, "What's a triple double?"
I don't know.
I'm just saying. So it's. But that's where it begins. You got the barriers. When the barriers are there, then what's to stop you? What's to stop you from that? And then you stumble on the wrong thing. You know, let's say a person's using the internet. He's using the internet. Now, using the internet for business is for business. You put a lot of filters on, Okay. Nebuch, it's the Gullus. We have to live that way. Fine. But start surfing. I got a few extra minutes. Let me just check on what's on YouTube. See if there's anything interesting on YouTube. Look, what do you have to see? What do you have to look to see if there's anything interesting on YouTube? Just look if there's something interesting in the safer. That's you're at work. Yeah, you're at work. Okay, you get a little break, right? A little break. I don't know. Let's say your job lets you, during your break, you can look if you want to surf. You want to buy something online. Okay, it looks very good. I could buy from online now. It's so much easier. Somebody needed a safer. In 5 minutes, it's delivered the next day. It's mamish gewaltig. I save so much time. It's a great profit. You put Feldheim. Yeah, my savings. You can buy kosher chickens, much less money. They deliver it to your house. Baruch Hashem. You could do that. Right. So let me just say what's interesting. What's doing? Look on YouTube. Maybe it'll be a cute thing of Jewish content. And all of a sudden, YouTube, there's all kinds of things on YouTube. Every Dover Usher in the world is there. And then you stumble on it. But why don't you have a safer in your office? Have a safer, you know. Why don't you review the class? You always say, Rabbi, I can't review. What do you mean you can review? Yeah, 15 minutes of work. You just go over the page we did and go it over. Hazard it over. Don't you love it? I have to go to a shir. I have to go, but it's so much more fun to see what's doing on YouTube. There's very funny things there, and it's very interesting. You know, I'm not saying you can't use YouTube. You have to know, you have to really be strong what you're doing. You know, I remember recently my wife bought a turkey. Nobody knew how to carve the turkey. So I just Googled, YouTube carving turkey. They gave me 12 things, 12 different chefs showing how to carve a turkey. I watched it. I still didn't learn how to carve a turkey. You know, somehow the way my turkey looked different than his turkey. Like I said, I don't got the same turkey. I can't. But at least I knew what I'm supposed to do. You know, the biggest mistake is I still didn't get a sharp knife. They said the first thing is get a sharp knife. I can't buy a sharp knife. But I'm saying, this 10th thing, I watched it, and then everyone was kind to me. They said, "Oh, Abba, you really cut the turkey so beautifully." Okay. Well, it was for Yontif. I forgot what it was for. I don't remember. It was Pesach. Yeah, it was first day of Pesach. I want to have turkey. So cover the Yontif. If you can imagine, if you don't cut a turkey, it probably could be a mess. Like the mamish would be terrible. Look, cover the Yontif. You want it to look nice. Okay, so I spent 10 minutes learning how to carve a turkey. Yesh chacham b'goyim tamim. Okay, it wasn't because I was saying, I hate Pesach and I want to find, I had a turkey, I had to know how to cut the turkey. Yeah, you can't just look at that turkey, we'll just chop it away. It doesn't look nice at all. Okay, so I spent 10 minutes and I looked and I carved the middle of carving, I said, let me go back and do that. I learned how to carve a turkey. It's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with learning how to carve a turkey. But they say, okay, but I want to go back to the Pesach. I want to be back with Hashem. I want to serve Hashem nicely. I want to do Hashem. You want to learn how to lane. You want to before Shabbos do Shir Hashir. Right? Do Shir Hashir. I don't know how to do it. I don't know the trap. I don't know how to sing Shir Hashir. I'm going to go Shir. Yeah? It's a beautiful melody. So you there's a website that Candlelit. You click it on, you save it on your thing, and now you can play it anytime you want. You read along, you're going to learn how to do it. So I'm not saying you can't go on the internet. You can manage to learn things. But when you say, you know what, I got it free time, let me surf the net. Let me see what's there. I'm not looking for a Dover Osir. Why? Something interesting. It's just very interesting, you know, what they're going to say about the politics and this and that. Whatever. People send you all these things, must see. You know, must see this thing on, Holocaust awareness. Must see. You don't have to see everything. Right? Must see is this. This is must see. Right. So you're already looking to the internet for other things because Hashem doesn't interest you. So let me find something that's interesting, but it's not usher. But the problem is, but my enjoyment is there and it's not backward. That's the barrier. That's what the physical world barrier can be, is my enjoyment is more with that than with Hashem. Once you're at that stage, you're in a very, that's nistara. You're hidden from your husband now. Once you're hidden from your husband, then all of a sudden, something, you cook up a car, you know, whatever. You Google one thing and sometimes you get something totally different. And then they say, let me see what's over there. Why do you want to see? But that's not allowed. Well, it doesn't really matter. I'm not that close anyway, Dasha. You see how that happens. That's how you become unfaithful. So, you know, you go to, these frum worded websites that all they do is speak Lashon Hara about people. There are such websites. People told me about it. I don't look. There's websites, blogs, where they say all Lashon Hara is going on. They say Lashon Hara about the day schools, about the Rebbeim. It's great. It's gewaltig. If you like Lashon Hara, that's what people are telling me. I've never looked at it. But it's how you want to blog up, you know, you pick these words like Yeshiva web world or something like this, and just keep looking, you'll find it. I'm sure you can find anything, right? Say some negative words associated with rabbis, and then rabbis who rip off the public. Now just look, and then you'll find. You'll just write the Google. I just Google the words rabbis who rip off the community, rabbis who lie to the community. Just look for it. You'll find pages. That's really interesting. Wow. I guess these rabbis aren't so good as people think they are, because look what everybody's saying about them. So then also, that's you're being unfaithful. That's how it happens. That's these mechitzas.
Is the mechitza a lack of yiras Hashem?
We have to get to the next point. The mechitza isn't necessarily a dangerous, doesn't have to be an enemy of Hashem. The physical world is a mechitza, but you got to poke holes through those mechitzas. If you just look at the world is chicken and food and a home and clothing, and all those are wonderful things. And you're not looking beyond that machitza. If you're not poking holes in that machitza, then there ain't nothing on the other side of the machitza. Where's Hashem? Well, I'm told I have to do this and that, but I do it because I have to do it. Right? So at least start poking some holes. So, okay, we're not expecting you to get rid of every machitza. Start poking some holes in the machitza. How are you going to poke holes in the machitza? We're going to see that on the next page. Okay, we've got a lot more to talk about. But this is critical. So again, don't say it's all or nothing. To the degree that I can see through this, and we'll see how you poke the holes shortly, but slowly, slowly, get a little light. You see, well, after all, who gave you all this nice home? Gave you all this other thing. It's a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Oh, then there is something on the other side of the Mechitza. Then the Mechitza starts to fall. Let's continue now with the Bilvavi, the Mishnah Sharm. Chomash Yuchal Achshav Shuem Tsoi L'Kur Vazos. And whatever you think is a means to get close to Hashem, and it's a way to break down a barrier, Yir Tavachra V'Yochas Ol Yarpehu. Run after it and don't let go of it. Anything that can help you break through a barrier, go after that. Anything that prevents you from connecting to Hashem, run away from that like a fire. The whole idea is to connect to Hashem. Right? That's what he said two pages before. Only purpose is to get close to Hashem and to break the machitzas. Right? And the physical world, the bad midos, are the things that pull you, take you away. So you gotta, whatever you can do that will bring you closer, run after it. Whatever you can do to get you far away, stay far away from that. So now he explains. He gives examples. When we talk about money, the rule is simple. When a businessman goes to buy merchandise, if he feels he can make a buck in the set buying it, he'll buy it. Goes to the trade show, right? He goes to the Leipzig fair, right? He says, if I can buy this, let's say I can buy a million of these for 50 cents, and I think I can sell them for a dollar, I'll buy them. Whatever I can buy that can make me money, that's the rule. He's going to go after it. Right? This is not profitable. And truthfully, it only caused him a loss. Guys, would you like to buy, a million, what was in style 40 years ago? A million bow ties. Can I say a million bow ties? I'm lucky if I sell one. I'll give you a good price. I really give you a good price. Five cents a bow tie. Yeah, bell bottom pants, right? You're not going to buy it. You're going to lose money on that. Be an idiot to buy them. Right? No, I got the most modern, up to date, latest style, cheap. Oh, that's what I'm interested in, right? So that's the same thing. He's saying, Yesh Knei Midah. I don't know exactly what the term is. Like there's a measure of buying. In other words, there's a profit margin, I think. Right? Ma konim alo konim. There's a way of measuring, financially, what's worth of you to buy. You figure if I buy this at this price, I'll make money or not. There's a certain, I guess, price margin. What's the word they use? Profit margin. Depending if there's a profit margin or a loss margin, that's going to make his decision if he's going to buy it or not. Everybody knows that rule. Everyone's just stay away from bad deals and you run after a good deal. Everybody's looking for a good deal. And you have ways of determining if it's a good deal or not. The guy says, I'll lend you money, I'll lend you money at 6%. What if it's 6%? I can go to someone else for 2.5%. I'm looking for an investment. So I said, I have a great investment. I can get 5% return on money. That's not bad. But I gotta go to a bank and borrow it at 6%. That's not a good business deal. You wouldn't even think for a minute to go on such a big, good man. What do you mean? I'm getting 5%, but you're paying 6%. You wouldn't do that. That's obvious. So the same thing. When you get into the inner world and you get into spirituality, what's that profit margin of what you should do? What's your spiritual profit margin? There's only one rule. Anything that will bring you closer to God, that's what you should do. Some that distances you from Hashem. So you're not allowed to do it. Finish. Very simple way of understanding the profit margin of mitzvahs. Am I going to profit from this action or not? Well, how am I going to know? What's the measuring stick? It's how much money's in the bank after all the business is done. How much closer are you to Hashem? After all is said and done, are you closer to Hashem or are you not closer to Hashem? Now you understand why the words mitzvah is mitzvah and avera is avera. Mitzvah, melosh and safta. Mitzvah comes from the word safta, connection. Shodom dovah bari. The person cleaves Hashem. Will this thing make me close to Hashem? Avera miloshon me'ever lanar. Like on the other side of the river. Avram Ivri. Avar. Avar means I'm on the other side. You're on the other side. Whoever letzadacha, you're on the other side. That side with the barrier. The side of the barrier. Then God forbid on the other side of Hashem. So just decide, okay, I'm deciding, you know, Shivchas. Let's decide, just finish the three domains. Avol. So now who decides if it's going to get you close to Hashem or not? How can you decide? How do you know? Can a person decide himself what brings him closer and what distance him? Unfortunately, a lot of people think they do know that. Chas v'shalom, God forbid, the person doesn't know what brings him close to Hashem or not. Mishabaras Adam, the one who created the person, Nasan Lachukim Beruri Mamakar Mamarachik, the one who created the person gave him rules, what brings you close and what brings you. Hashem, who made you, and who made up this idea of the relationship, he tells you the rules. I know people don't like to hear that. Right? The rules are, you gotta daven to me. You gotta communicate. Can you imagine, a wife says, I'm gonna tell you some rules about our marriage. Tell you some rules. You want to have a nice marriage, I'm telling you, you've got to communicate to me, man. It's an important rule. Whatever you do, you got to think about me. It's a rule. I don't like that rule. I don't like that rule, then you might as well not get married to me and not to any woman who cares about those rules. She says, you want to get married to me? There's some rules. There's some rules. These are the rules. There's 613 rules. This will make us feel close. This is what's going to happen. I don't like those rules. Okay, then you're not interested in being close to me. You got a different game you're playing. A person can't determine what makes close and what distance is. So if the person does, that's what we call aver lishma, doing an aver for the sake of coming close to God. Ramchal talks about in other places at great length how many people made a mistake in this area. Person figures if he's doing a certain action for the sake of a mitzvah, in a way to get him close to Hashem. I think I can do whatever I want. As long as I think it's getting close to Hashem, I can do it. But God didn't say that. Chas v'shalom, God forbid. When a person was given the Torah Sinai, Dina Torah Kedosha, Heim Beduka, Hadrachim, Shadarkim, Yochel Adam, Iskarev Lebaro. Once Hashem gave it to Torah Sinai, the Torah is clear. It gives you clear instructions. What gets you close to Hashem? Can I even understand? The sin of the golden calf was that avera lishma. They said, we want to get close to Hashem. We don't know what to do. We have to do something. We wanted to say get close to Hashem. Hashem says, Hashem in great movies. Yeah, but you know, it's different now.
That was before Moshe.
Yeah, that's before Moshe left. Exactly. But the guy, so it was not avera lishma. That's going to make a big problem. You know, you say, why are you so interested in your girlfriend's at second cup? Why? Because I'm going to go crazy without it. I'll be a better wife if I have a good life outside. There's no such rules. Aver lishma. You're looking at the barrier and you're thinking the barrier is what's going to get you close to Hashem, and it ain't. What are you talking about? I have to have a vacation or I can't learn Torah. I'm not saying you can't, but you know what I'm saying. I gotta rest, I gotta sleep, I gotta this, I gotta eat, I gotta have to have friends, I have to have shalom bayit, blah, blah, blah. And then I can learn Torah. If I'm nice to my wife and I never go and learn, maybe she'll let me learn for 3 minutes a year. You know, it's all aver lishma talk. Within the mitzvahs, you have a free will choice how to act. You show the mitzvahs Talmud Torah. You do have free will choice. You have a mitzvah to learn. So now you have a choice. What do you want to learn? You want to learn brachas? You want to learn Shabbos? That you can choose. I mean, you got to learn them all anyway by the end. But Hashem said, these things will get you close, these things will distance you, and this you don't have a choice. This you don't have a choice. That's how you have to look at the profit margin of your actions. The profit margin is, does it get you close to Hashem? Does it not? That's the only thing you got to ask. And based on that answer, then you do what you have to do. All right, we'll continue tomorrow. I don't know if we'll finish. I was hoping we'd finish the safer, but looks like not tomorrow.